Dr. Shane Retty is with us. Thanks for joining us. Shane Tenakwe.
Morning, Dale.
Good morning. Good to catch up with you too, Shane. Everything's in a bit of limbo, I understand. But it doesn't stop us from talking about some of the kaupapa on the table. Can we start with Whangarei Hospital, which is something special to you as the MP for Whangarei? The new build signed off in November of last year by the outgoing government. They set aside seemingly $750 million to begin the build, which is scheduled for 2024. Now, it may not happen in this three-year electoral term. Is that the latest announcement? And if it's not going ahead, can you explain from your perspective why you think it is not? What's the update on the hospital from your read, Shane?
The hospital will definitely go ahead. I've been advocating for this for years. How this rolled out was it was started under a national government in 2015, and then in 2018 the Labor government forced it. They said basically it was too rich for their blood. They couldn't afford it, so they stopped progress on it. The instruction from the Ministry of Health. And then thankfully, late last year, that $752 million came through for what's called the first tranche of funding. So that's very exciting, and I want to give credit where credit's due for those who got that, that funding across the line. Now, the reality is this is a six-year build, and so that's never going to happen in one term. And so what we do need to do, and what I've said in public domain, is we need to start that upgrade as soon as possible, because otherwise what will happen is what happened in Dunedin, where delays and build inflation added up so much that over a period of time, the scope of the hospital had to be reduced. They talked about pulling out the MRI scanners, the scanners, 23 beds, two operating theatres. Just because they waited so long, the cost inflation ate away at that appropriation, so they had less funding to do the job. We can't afford to let that happen in Whangarei. This is a hospital that's necessary. It's been necessary for a period of time. We need to make a start as soon as possible, and that's what I'll be advocating for.
Tenakwe, do you think that the construction of a bigger, more efficient hospital is the main health need in an area that in many ways is poorly serviced by health options? What else would you prioritise to address the health needs of the wider Taitokoro region? The upgrade of the hospital is important, but what else is needed, do you think, Shane?
I think there are two things. You can break this down into primary and secondary sector. Secondary sector, unquestionably, we need that hospital upgrade to start as soon as possible. In the primary care sector, really hard to see a general practitioner anytime soon. We have a significant deficit of primary care doctors. Those that are here are working every hour spent. They're not feeling valued. They're not feeling appropriately remunerated. And we need to be doing a better job with primary care. Remembering primary care is the gateway to secondary care. If primary care fails, EDs overflow. Secondary care becomes overwhelming. And so we need to be paying significant attention to both primary and secondary care here in Taitokoro.
Tenakwe, what do you make of technology and its advances, how it might be utilised better in health delivery? I'm noting that the potential for consultations via the internet is something that has been toyed with. Is it something that you favour, and do you sense that improving technology can improve the opportunity for those who need health advice and support, that can be enhanced by the use of technologies which are changing and advancing each and every day? What's your thinking on technology and health going forward?
Yes, I do think technology has a significant part to play in health, and particularly in the crisis that we have at the moment. Remember, I was a clinical informatician in Boston, and this is what clinical informaticians do. They look at where the business case, where the information technology and the clinical case all interact and interface together so that you can use information technology to drive better patient outcomes. That's what clinical informaticians do. And so we'll be very interested in telehealth and other. I've been talking to informaticians over this weekend about some of the techniques that can be used to reduce the burden on primary care, for example. So filing of normal results and scheduling of routine follow-ups. some of that can be automated, and in fact there's some work being done, and in fact not just done, but already being deployed and trialled around the country as to how some of that administrative burden that GPs have can be safely and reasonably removed so that they can spend more time with the patient rather than with their computer screen. So I think technology definitely has a part. One key aspect of that is the core infrastructure around fibre and broadband and internet connectivity. Many of the technological innovations now and probably coming to us in the future rely on a fast pipe. You have to have fast broadband or fibre. And there are parts of the country, and certainly parts of Northland, where there are spots where it's patchy. And this is what the rural GPs say to me as well, Shane. In fact, they've had it on their mandate for a number of years now that one of the key things that would improve rural health is improving rural connectivity. And so this is where various portfolios interface with health. We know, of course, housing does. We know, of course, social services do. But people may not think about the digital interface and what an impact that has on health, and particularly for our rural areas. They need good rural connectivity before we can start to offer some of the things we're talking about, like telehealth.
Tēnā koe. You mentioned that there's a hui of this nature with this kaupapa in mind with informaticians, as you call them. Can you tell us more about this think tank?
Yeah, so when I say that there's a hui, there's been discussions that I've been having. I'm sure there's formal meetings with clinical informaticians. In fact, I think I spoke at one of the DHA, which is one organisation, Hines is another organisation, who hold these sort of meetings. And in the past few months, I was privileged to offer an address to them, giving some sense of what a digital future might look like. And I was very, very encouraged by that. I think, however, we still need to remember that core infrastructure, which is core rural and widespread connectivity, is a really important factor for rural health particularly. So you've got your network, you've got your structure, and then on top of that, you've got the applications that let you do things that might either help you reach a better, quicker diagnosis or reduce your administrative burden.
Tēnā koe. Everything's sort of in a state of limbo at the moment. Discussions, no doubt, taking place. What do you say of the what feels like a very long period between the election on the 14th and the voting of special, or the counting of special votes, which I'm led to believe won't be finalised until maybe it's November the 3rd. It seems quite a long time, 3 weeks or thereabouts. What do you make of that period in a climate of advanced technology? It still does seem sort of a period of time somewhat antiquated, really, whether people are counting them literally by hand. This period, how difficult is it to plan from your perspective, Shane?
Yeah, I think this is a really, really good question, Dale. And I think after every election, there's a review, and this will need to be reconsidered. And in that review, my understanding is that special votes from out of area are returned back to the electorate where the point of residence is. That then relies on couriers and New Zealand Post and manual delivery mechanisms. And we just have to think if this is the most efficient. It does seem like a long period of time. And I have heard some of the explanations from the Electoral Commission, and they seem reasonable. So how can we improve that if we're needing to manually transfer special voting forms back to the electorate of source? Why can that not be done electronically? I think these are all the questions that the House will address, because everyone, there's no one, including the Electoral Commission, who's not wanting a more efficient, quicker result. So if we're all agreed, then what are the hurdles and how do we get over those hurdles? That's the discussion that needs to be had.
As always, a pleasure to have a cordial with you, Shane. Thanks very much for sharing some cordial with us. And obviously, we'll know more as the next week unfolds. All the best with the mahi ahead, and we'll talk next week. Thank you, Shane.
Tēnā koe, Dale. Ata mārie.